While Cindy, Gimli, and Schmidt struggle to quell Kyogre's wrath in Hoenn, Elodie lost consciousness while snuck aboard the rocket NRG hijacked from the Mos Deep City Space Center. What can Elodie do to interrupt Neo Rocket Galactic's nefarious plans on the moon? Elodie, I'm going to start with something funny. While you are in the situation you were unconscious, I want you to make a deception check.
Okay.
More just so for the reason it is more fun for you to roll dice than it is for me.
Okay.
Let's see what we start out with this session. Oh, I remember I gained my proficiency in deception because I kept lying about things. That'll be a 15.
Very good. The last thing that you remember was that you found yourself aboard the rocket ship that was the point of contention for this conflict in Mos Deep City. You entered a portal through the mysterious figure who had helped you in the past, helped you escape Dorada on Cycling Road. And additionally, you saw them in Duford, but they didn't necessarily intervene at all. And you found yourself in a closet where you put on a spacesuit with Mr. Salt inside. And you were in the rocket, and it seemed like you were running out of time to get out. You saw Cabbage get loaded in, and you took a seat. The G-forces were too intense for your untrained body that you simply lost consciousness as all of the blood flowed out of your head. Now, you are stirred awake. You gradually, groggily awaken to the sound of voices that sound like they're over a radio speaking into your helmet. What do you do?
Hello?
You say hello out loud?
Yes.
Okay. There's a voice that is vaguely familiar. It's the same voice of the scientist who addressed you when you first entered the rocket. It is Chorus. And they say, oh, good, you're finally awake. Come help us.
Okay. What do you need help with?
Wow, you really got knocked out bad, Yuri, didn't you? We're making the bomb. Come assist us. We're right outside.
Okay. You got it.
Perfect.
Do my best wink impression.
Give me, let's just say a perception check for now.
Okay. 13.
Okay. That is enough to know that when you first sat down in the seat, your center of gravity was parallel with the ground. It is now perpendicular. You feel yourself sitting. There is like a porthole window to the front, and you can see, while primarily just like a pitch black sky with some twinkling stars in the distance, you also see the lunar surface outside. You have somehow arrived at the moon.
I made it.
You do have Mr. Salt, the Carbink, the little rocky fairy guy, in your suit, and it seems that he is conscious, but also admittedly a little groggy, a little disoriented. You're currently strapped in. What is your first course of action?
I will strap out and stand up.
Okay, please make a dexterity save.
Okay. 14.
Very good. As you stand up, you do so with your normal facilities and faculties, and you realize that gravity is far different. You find yourself overstepping, and you somewhat like accidentally launch yourself into the air a little bit, and it takes you a solid half a second to descend back to the ground of the ship. It is currently oriented in, like, I will guess, in quotes, a parked position, where before, you know, the blasty part was facing the ground, and now it is facing, like, horizontal to the horizon. So you look around, you gather yourself, you see a bunch of controls that you don't necessarily understand that you're welcome to investigate more if you wish, but you also see some form of, like, hatch door.
Okay, I will take a quick look at those controls.
Okay, roll me an investigation.
25?
Wow, that's incredibly high. Yeah, this is the control panel that you saw before that is kind of at the nose of the shuttle. It's got all sorts of readings and radars and, well, not radars. It has one singular, like, radar. It has a bunch of gauges that measure different things. You're assuming that some of it is, like, flight. It's, like, yaw and pitch and elevation and altitude and all sorts of things. There is just a series of, like, how to put this, climate control, I guess. Also, it's evident that there is oxygen that is circulating through the shuttle. And additionally, there is a spot where a key would go that is currently missing. There's one light that is just flashing on its own. Just a small red light that is above, like, where the key goes.
Gotcha.
You would understand that it's like the majority of these controls is like for turning the thing on and moving it around. Additionally, there's not like a steering wheel necessarily, but there's like a mechanism that you can use your two of your hands on to control the direction of the craft.
Got it. I will take note of that, and then I will head for the hatch.
Okay. You do so. There is, like, a lever on the wall, and seemingly no door handle. Do you pull the lever?
Pull the lever, Kronk.
Okay, you do so. Pull the lever. The door opens, and you are greeted with yet another door. There is a big sign that says, close one door before opening the other. Do you heed these instructions?
Yes.
Okay.
I get turned into space soup.
Very good. You close the door that you came through, and then there's a psh, there's like a pressurization sound, and there's an element of your spacesuit that kind of kicks on, and the air that you are breathing feels kind of like recycled. It doesn't feel like it's coming from a different source than it was in the shuttle. Now there's another lever that allows you to open the latter door. Do you flip the lever?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. You do so. It opens up, and for a moment, it is shockingly bright as your eyes somewhat have to adjust. I'm assuming you have your visor down, so you're not going to be blinded or anything, but this is quite the sight to see. Never in Elodie's life necessarily did she, I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but did she ever think that she would be on the moon? I don't know. But she has currently arrived here, and she is on the lunar surface, protected by nothing other than a spacesuit that is too large. Mr. Salt is taking in the sights as well. What's your first order of business?
Do I see the other astronauts?
Roll me a perception check, please.
Got it. 14?
14 is good enough. Yes, you can see that they are probably about 50 or 60 yards away. The first thing you notice is a large, like, metal structure. You didn't necessarily even see the components in the ship when you boarded, but it's like they're assembling some sort of... It resembles a ziggurat. It's largely triangular in shape. It is probably about 10 or so feet tall, not incredibly large. And each piece of it is like a different height of cylinder column, and it's all fully made of metal. That you can see lights kind of glowing around it. There's some sort of energy being held into it. And you see two people in spacesuits, and you also see three Pokemon that are outside and doing stuff. You said you got a 14 on your perception check?
Yes.
Okay. Additionally, just over the horizon, you can see like a slight portion of the lunar landscape where this is not necessarily a full moon, whatever phase it is, who knows, because you're currently on the surface, you wouldn't be able to guess, but there's like a thick line that is probably about 100 yards or so of where it just transitions from light to dark, and there's like hardly any differentiation otherwise. Around that line, you see two or three round pink Pokemon that look like they have little fairy wings, and they're watching you carefully from a great distance.
Interesting. I will start making my way over to the other astronauts and their machine.
Okay, you do so. One perception check, please. I know I just had you roll one, but we need a new one for this perspective.
This one will be 13.
Okay. The first thing you notice is the planet. You can see it. It is large and beautiful, and it's eerie to be so far away from something that you look at, and everything that you've known in your life and everyone else's life is all there, and you are gone. You are not there. And it's kind of a calming but also terrifying thought. The other thing that you see as you turn around the side of the shuttle is, one, it's quite large. It's a pretty large shuttle. Not like you have a lot to compare it with, but it's roomy. There's lots of storage. You saw as you were inside, you know, there was like sleeping bunks and there was like restrooms and stuff. So it's a pretty large modern shuttle. It doesn't have the boosters anymore, seemingly perhaps because that was necessary for it to achieve lift through the Earth's atmosphere. You do notice that the side that you are turning on is like unbelievably like scratched and scuffed and has burn marks all over it. It doesn't look good. It looks like something, compared to the other side of the shuttle, something did not go correctly on this. It is perhaps something, perhaps it's okay, but you don't have enough information on it with your perception check at this point to know what happened to the shuttle.
Gotcha.
Do you continue over to the science project?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Okay. You start bounding over. Elodie, you might find that it is actually more efficient to like take bounding leaps than it is to just walk normally. You end up being able to move further much faster due to the low gravity. It's a little freeing, but also a little scary. You almost feel like that if you jump too hard that you would escape the moon's gravity. So you are careful to try and not to do that, even though it's pretty unlikely that that could happen. After some time passes, you start bounding across the lunar landscape. You approach this contraption that Colress and mysterious unnamed scientist are working on. Additionally, now that you're closer, you can see a few things. One thing that you can see is that the three Pokemon that are assisting, one appears to be a cooperation between three different Pokemon. They all seem to be metallic in origin. They're like metal spheres with little screw appendages and magnets on either side of them, and it's a trio. And they are picking up metal pieces and arranging them appropriately around this contraption. Additionally, you see a Pokemon that really just looks like a series of gears that are suspended in the air, and they are twirling as they float around. And they are additionally using their powers to, you know, push crates along and open boxes and put pieces into place. The last Pokemon you see looks very much not like a normal earthen Pokemon. It looks very strange. It floats above the ground with no legs, but besides that, it has a vaguely humanoid body. It's orangish in color, and at the end of either of its hand limbs, you could say, are little like orbs that light up, and it has an elongated skull. And it looks very much like a classic alien almost, and it is waving its hands in such a way where it is lifting up pieces of metal and putting them into this pile. And also, you notice that the capsules of infinity energy, some of which you provided through the Rite of Learning, are being installed into this contraption. Last but not least, you see that in the middle of it, in a transparent case, is none other than Cabbage the Alcremie. And she seems to be either dazed or unconscious, and she's pulsating with an incredible gradient pink and blue light. It is brighter than almost the light of the lunar surface. What do you do?
Oh, gosh. I will... Oh, gosh. What are Colrus and the other guy doing? Are they just, like, also moving things?
Yeah, it seems like Colrus is... He's looking at a contraption that is on the exterior of his spacesuit on his wrist, and he's, like, punching in a keypad. He's doing something. Something scientific, for sure. The other astronaut is physically, like, picking up cases and finding infinity energy capsules and putting them into this contraption. They don't seem to notice that you have arrived.
Okay. I will... So the way that he talked to me before seemed to be, like, through my helmet. Is there... Can I figure out how to, like, speak through that?
Sure. You can... Based on your last communication with Colrus, you didn't have to do anything to speak with him. I will let you roll an investigation for the inside of your suit if you would like to get more specifics.
Sure. That would be 17.
17 is quite good. You see that you do have, like, on the inside, it's above your head because the suit is oversized for you, but in the spacesuit, you acknowledge that there is, like, a microphone receiver, a really small one, just a little black mesh tip that is hanging out near, it's, like, installed in the helmet, and on a cable that descends from it, there is a little toggle. It is currently on, and there's a light on, and with your investigation check, you could probably presume that if you wanted to speak and have them not hear you, you would just switch it to off.
Gotcha. Perfect. Okay. Then I will just say, all right, I'm here. What do you need my help with?
Okay. One more deception. I'm going to give you advantage because you've already convinced them that you are, in fact, Yuri.
That will be... I'm doing math. 26.
Okay. That is incredibly good. Colrus says, Yuri, glad you made it. Looks like those G-forces really took a hard hit on you. The first thing you can do is probably help out Magneton install some of these capsules. We got the general construction finished, but we still need to make sure that this infinity energy is installed correctly. We don't want anything to go wrong here.
Gotcha. And I will make my way over to those capsules.
Okay. Very good. Again, as you get closer, you can see more detail. It is a roughly 10-foot pyramid-shaped contraption that is composed of stacks of cylinders that are placed into, like, metal holders. It has little feet that dig into the lunar soil, and you can see that towards the bottom, Magneton is floating, like, kind of high up. You've seen Magneton before, and you kind of are familiar with the relative distance that they float from the ground. This one is a lot further than usual, so perhaps gravity is affecting them, or they can't use their magnetic abilities as well. So the three eyes of the Magneton look at you kind of expectantly, and also look at some canisters of infinity energy, and you can tell that there are clear slots on the side of the ziggurat where these should be, like, screwed into. Do you do such a task?
Can I inspect the capsules to see if there's a way to, like, open them and let the energy out?
Sure. Roll an investigation.
11.
11, yeah. You see that there is, like, a top. You don't, with your 11, you don't identify a mechanism to open it. You would presume that brute force might do the job. They do seem a little delicate in the way that they're being handled by the other Pokemon would suggest that they're delicate. But as far as, like, opening it, you aren't quite sure. Additionally, as you are closer to the ziggurat, you have a pretty good look at Cabbage if you want to take a closer look.
Yes, I will take a closer look at Cabbage, yeah.
Okay. Cabbage is kind of suspended and being like tethered to different channels of energy coming from all around her, basically in like a chamber that is protected either by glass or plastic. There is a door to it and there is a clear like handle where you slide it. Cabbage is aware, is awake, maybe not fully cognizant, maybe a little disoriented, and doesn't recognize you.
Oh, got it. So you said I have a visor, right?
Yes.
Like, just like inside the helmet, right? So like if I were to open it, like I'm not like opening the helmet, right?
Correct. There's like how what's the best way to put it? There's like it's glasses and sunglasses basically, and the sunglasses are removable.
Right.
Yes.
Right. If I were to lift said visor, is either of them like in front of me where they would see my face if I were to do that?
Not the astronauts, but maybe one of the Pokemon.
Okay. Don't know if these Pokemon are loyal. could always try and turn them on the scientists if worse comes to worse, but I don't know how loyal they are. I will trying to figure out how I can get one of the Pokemon to not be in front of me. So they're actively like putting the things onto the like pyramid.
Yes, it seems like one section of the pyramid is still like being constructed, like the back corner. But this front part where you are, it doesn't really have a front. I mean, this face out of the four faces seems more or less complete. It just needs infinity energy installed into like the receptacle areas where they are. For what it's worth, there appears to be a like roughly 50 areas where to store infinity energy capsules. And roughly a third of them are currently filled.
Gotcha. Is it possible to like wait for a moment where where the Pokemon, like their back is turned and I can flip up my visor to Cabbage?
Sure. Yeah. Roll me, I guess, Dex. I don't know. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
probably. See if I can get my timing. 15?
15, yeah. The only Pokemon that's necessarily in range of seeing you do this is Magneton. It has three eyes, but it doesn't. If you found an opportune moment where if you wanted to do some sort of interaction with Cabbage, you would be able to do so.
Perfect. Okay. I will lift up my visor quickly and kind of try to like subtly wave to get her attention.
Okay. You manage to do so. Cabbage recognizes you. There's a glint of hope and excitement in Cabbage's eyes. She alters between like happy and panicked and happy and panicked. It almost seems like she'd be making sounds, but if she is, you cannot hear them. Additionally, as you're closer, you notice that not only is she pulsating a great amount of light, not only is she being suspended by like an electrical energy, but there's also like a bubble around her that reminds you of when she was a milcery. There's like a milky bubble surrounding her body.
Interesting. She's got a milky bubble. I will, under the guise of bringing one of these capsules forward, try and take a look at. So so you said there's a door to get into where she is.
Yes, it's like just like maybe she's in like a 3 or 4 foot plastic box, it seems like. And there's like a little door that there's only a handle on the outside that you can access the components in the box.
And is that door in view of the other scientists?
It certainly is. If they were to be paying attention, they would definitely see it. But they aren't necessarily like looking. That's not their focus currently. But they are, in fact, in range of that. You do over here. Did you turn on your mic or turn it off? What's the current status on it?
It's on. Yeah.
Okay. There's some topics of conversation going around. Just kind of Colress and Nav. You have now learned the name of the other individual. Their name is Cobalt. They're discussing, you know, they're just kind of saying, like, put this here, put this there. Cobalt expresses a couple concerns. The first one, he says, Colress, are you sure that you can figure out how to put us back? I mean, that booster explosion, that was pretty significant. It felt like we weren't going to make it. Colress says, oh, yes, I'll just take some thought. Let's finish up this part of the experiment, and then before we detonate, I'll have to run some calculations, but I have a good feeling that we can make it work. It might just take, you know, a year or so. Cobalt says, a year? I don't have that long, and what are we going to eat? We don't have that much food. Colress says, oh, well, my Magneton is trained to put heartbeats into stasis, so we could just potentially put ourselves into a coma until the timing is right and the orbit is exactly where we need it. We'll do a couple laps around the moon just to gain trajectory and velocity, and we will go back to the planet just as normal. Cobalt isn't impressed with this. Another discussion that they have is that Kolres addresses Cobalt and says that he is getting concerned with the activity of the native Pokemon. And as you look around, you see that there is more and more of these little round fairy creatures that are just gathering around and watching from a distance. And it looks like they're almost socializing with each other.
I will jump into the conversation.
Okay.
And say, booster explosion. I was knocked out. What happened?
Cobalt will worryingly, just generally, he seems to have less confidence than Kolres. Cobalt will say, yeah, that dumb girl with that dragon kept blasting at the ship before we took off, and I guess she did enough damage where before we even left the atmosphere, one of the boosters exploded just right on the side of the ship. We were really lucky that we even made it this far and we didn't have any major damage to the ship where we wouldn't survive. And Kolres said, oh, you know, Mosty, they always produce the best quality spacecraft. We weren't ever in any danger, but Cobalt seems to feel otherwise. He's still quite shaken up about it, and he still can't believe that Kolres is going to find a way to get them home, even if it takes a year and they have to go into a coma.
But the problem is just that we don't have enough energy to get back?
Kolres says, yes, that's a big part of it. Not all of the fuel was dispersed from the booster into the shuttle. So being able to lift off, we won't quite make it. We're going to end up stalling out and falling into orbit. So we need some time to calculate a proper velocity and, again, gain some momentum by orbiting the moon for a while. And then after, well, maybe just 9 months, who knows? I'll have to run some calculations. We should be able to return to Earth, no problem.
But we've all got all this energy here. Why don't we just use this?
Kolres says, we need every ounce of that infinity energy if we are to complete this mission. You, of anyone, should know that, Yuri.
Right, of course.
Kolres also says, also, the conversion of infinity energy to jet fuel isn't necessarily one-to-one. Of course, we could just throw those into the fuel cell, but who knows if that would actually work, if it would just blow up the ship in the process.
Hmm. Can I try and catch the vibe of the little fairy Pokemon that are starting to gather?
Sure. Roll me an insight check, please.
Okay. Oof. 5.
Not particularly good. It is enough for you to know that these are, in fact, Clefairy. There are many of them. They're in, like, small little pods. There's, like, a group of 3, and then there's a group of 2, and then there's, like, one of them. They're mostly just standing around and watching. A couple of them are actually sitting, and another group of them are bounding around, just jumping from crater to crater and looking over at what's going on and then continuing to bound around. There is one that is on the other side of the pyramid from where you and the other astronauts are that is approaching. It is bounding up towards the group.
I will wave at it.
Okay. You do so. Roll charisma.
Give me 24.
Okay. I was going to say give me 15. Yeah, it acknowledges you and it kind of lights up with a smile and it begins to bound towards you. Let me roll for the other astronauts for a moment. Yes, Kolres will notice, and he'll say, those Clefairy are starting to bother me. I'm worried that they're going to interfere with our operation. Yuri, could you go just chew them off, figure out what they're up to, get rid of them?
Yeah, of course. Super intimidating.
So, do you approach this Clefairy, and what do you do?
Yes. I don't think I can, like, talk to this thing, because we're in space. You can't hear anything in space.
Mm-hmm.
I will kind of trying to make it look like maybe it's like kind of coming at me and approaching me and I'm just kind of backing up a little bit, try to like bring it a little closer to where Cabbage is and kind of draw its attention to Cabbage.
Okay, that's a performance check. Give me a 16 on that.
Gotcha. Will do. Yeah. I rolled a 19 on the doy, but I believe I have a proficiency, so that will bring me all the way to 24.
Incredible.
Higher than that. I don't know. I'm bad at math.
Really great rolls.
Whatever. It's in the 20s.
Yeah. You successfully make it seem like, I don't know, like maybe that you're under attack or something, or that, like, you know, not in a way that you're fearing for your life, but the way that you backpedal seems very natural. Like you aren't sure what to do with the situation and you're almost secretly guiding the Clefairy to see what's going on. Kolres doesn't, it looks over, but doesn't necessarily say anything. He just assumes that you're figuring it out. Meanwhile, Cobalt and Kolres will continue to have a conversation. Cobalt is basically asking, you know, if this is a demolition mission, then why wasn't Rada assigned to it? Almost expecting you to answer, and there's a bit of a silence. Do you answer?
Yeah, well, it requires a more delicate touch than Rada can provide as well.
Okay. Roll a deception.
Natural 20.
Yeah, perfect. They totally buy it. Kolres says, Yuri's very trained in these types of missions as well, used to doing solo admin work. And additionally, we understood from the boss that Rada was likely to be assigned to something on the ground that was more important. You have Clefairy kind of towards the front of the ziggurat. You have Magneton and Kling Kling specifically eyeing this Clefairy very suspiciously. But the other Pokemon, the BEM, doesn't seem to mind. It doesn't seem to care.
Does the Clefairy have any reaction upon seeing Cabbage?
Yes, Clefairy, while you're the only one to necessarily see its face, Magneton could, but it's not paying discreet attention. It has a face of shock and concern, and it looks at you like asking, as if to ask, what are you going to do about it?
How best to mime that I want to try and get her out? Are Colress and Cobalt still watching us?
They kind of are. They're not like attentively watching, just, you know, you're all in the same general 40 feet of each other, so they're observing, but they're more just trying to get this work done.
I will try the I'll begin with the plan that I'm trying to convey to this Clefairy, and then I will describe how I'm trying to convey this plan.
Yes.
But I want the Clefairy to do something to distract them while I try and get Cabbage out. And to convey that, I'm going to, like, point at the Clefairy as if to be like, you do this, and then I'm gonna, like, scream and, like, flail my arms around, like, oh, and like, scream, like, this thing is crazy! And then, mime, kind of more discreetly, myself then opening the door, to get Cabbage out.
Sure. Roll a Pokemon handling.
Okay. That was not super great, but I am proficient. 11?
11 is good enough for the general vibe to be processed. Maybe not the specifics, but Clefairy kind of gets what you're getting at. Clefairy will stick up one of its hands and wiggle a finger, and then it looks around, and you can see that the other Clefairy are beginning to bound in, and then this Clefairy, this particular one, jumps very swiftly, despite the moon gravity, right into your chest, and it's kind of flailing around.
I will once again kind of like scream with my microphone on, mm-hmm. so to keep up the performance for the other two, and then I will kind of try to back into where the door is.
Okay. Yeah, no checks that you need to make here. You already bought the performance. This does trigger concern for the three Pokemon and the two astronauts. They say, Yuri, what's going on? Did that Clefairy attack you? What's happening?
I've got the situation under control.
Roll a deception.
Okay. That'll be a dirty 20.
Okay. You continue to keep killing it. They believe you as the highest ranked member here, that you are going to figure things out. Colress says, well, just be careful about the capsules. You know how volatile they are.
Of course, of course. And then I will try and, I guess, sneak in the door.
Okay. Give me a DC 10 dexterity, please. Sleight of hand if you have it, but I don't think you do.
No, I do not.
Okay.
That is just 10.
Okay. That meets it, beats it. So, very good. Yeah, you managed to get the door open, and Cabbage is within arm's reach. You can see around you that the Clefairy continue to bound in. There's a horde of them, maybe 20 or 30. And there's this one that is still, like, jumping around you and, like, very gently smacking your body, trying to pretend to be a menace.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, perfect. Okay, cool. While that is happening, I will be trying to figure out how I can... So now I'm like in the chamber where Cabbage is. She's just kind of like floating in this milky bubble.
Yeah, she's suspended in a bubble. And also there's like beams of energy that are like stabilizing her to be floating there, if that makes sense.
Right. Do there appear to be like any like switches in here or anything?
Roll an investigation.
19.
Oh, very good. There is delicate machinery at the top and bottom of this crate that Cabbage is suspended in. You don't see any controls. It seems like that if this is controlled, it is either on the exterior of this contraption or is remote, perhaps something that Colress is fiddling with on his wrist.
Oh, gotcha. Hmm. Let's see.
You have an idea?
No, I'm thinking about it. I was like, I kind of want to have the Clefairy try and get them to like attack the thing, but also I know that it's a bomb, and so if it does blow up, that's really bad.
Mm-hmm.
What were you gonna say?
I was going to say that Cobalt begins to express some concern with all the Clefairy bounding in. He says, I know these Pokemon are very strong, but you sure you got this covered, Yuri?
Yes, yes. I'm very experienced with these types of Pokemon and handling these situations.
Very good. No deception required there. Cobalt believes you. It's true that they are gathering. It doesn't necessarily seem that they have as much of an agenda as this Clefairy Prime that is interacting with you and currently gently batting you around in a way that doesn't seem to do any damage. But they have an angry face on, and as they are attacking you, they occasionally like, give you a wink just to make sure that you know that they are playing.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I love this little guy. Oof. Okay.
An option, if you want, if you don't want to make a decision here, you can continue to wait it out. If you want, just see what the Clefairy are trying to do. Or you can take action and do a thing or make a roll or you can do a vibe check. Whatever you want. Just throwing it out there.
Okay. I think what I will do is I will return to the outside with this Clefairy.
Okay.
And kind of try to gesture to its friends to come over a little bit.
Okay.
If it can summon them in some way.
Sure. Are you asking the Clefairy to gesture to them, or are you gesturing to all the Clefairy?
I'll ask the Clefairy to.
Okay. Through gestures and vibes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, our connection.
Okay. That will be another Pokemon handling, please.
13?
13. Yeah, Clefairy is a pretty good idea of what you're trying to establish here. But again, not necessarily the specifics, but gives like a thoughtful nod as it continues to try and like pummel you in a very gentle, funny way. And a group of Clefairy start gathering in the area where you are, and Kling Kling and Magneton begin to like look a little, what's the word? They're trying to present themselves in an intimidating way as to discourage the Clefairy, and it works for some of them. Some of them don't want to get too close, but a couple of foolish ones, perhaps three or so, in addition to the one that you have, bound up close to you, and this main Clefairy looks at you as if you have another order to give, and the other three Clefairy are just getting up close to like the compartment where Cabbage is, where that you have opened.
So my plan was to try and direct them to attack Colress, but with these steel types around, now I don't want to because I don't want them to get hurt. I will kind of try and loop around the pyramid just to double check if the controlling mechanism for this is in fact on the outside.
Okay. You may do so. As you do so, I want you to make two rolls. I want you to make a perception check, and I want you to make a dexterity save.
Okay.
Either order is fine.
Okay, so my perception was a natural one.
Okay.
And my... This was a dexterity? Goodness me. Yes. It was a 9.
Okay. Yeah, so not great rolls for either of those. First of all, as you turn about to navigate to the other side of the contraption, the way that the Clefairy is bounding into you, it actually does it maybe a little bit too hard, and you fall. And your fall takes a long time, because you're on the moon. So it's not going to hurt at all, but it's just going to take a while for you to reorient yourself. Cobalt asks if you're okay, and Colvis says, yes, Yuri's fine, it's just a Clefairy. And unfortunately, you do not see what happens when a couple seconds after you write yourself up, Cobalt and Colrus go, wait, where's the Alcremie? What happened? And apparently, they cannot find Cabbage.
My boys! Oh, gosh darn it, that thing! I will say through the microphone.
Okay. Colrus says, did the Clefairy take the Alcremie? Go get them, go track them down, Yuri. We don't have time for this nonsense. And then Cobalt says, I thought you said we have like a year. Are you going to heed Cobalt's order and track down where they took Cabbage?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. First of all, you do a scan around and you do see like all the Clefairy bounding to that point in the distance where the light side of the moon becomes the dark side of the moon. You don't see Cabbage at all. But perhaps now that they're all bundled together, there's like 20 or so of them in a pack. Maybe Cabbage is in there. But there's only one way to find out, I guess.
Yeah, I'll go over there.
Okay. You bound over there as quickly as you can. Again, moon gravity makes it a little funny. And your one partner Clefairy is staying by your side, and all the other Clefairy are bounding forward surprisingly fast, almost as if they live here and they're used to the gravity. There becomes a point where, as you're entering that threshold where the light side becomes the dark side, one, it becomes pretty cold, and two, it becomes pretty hard to see, and three, because it's so dark, you actually see the cosmos brilliantly. It is beautiful. Not just is it a black sky, but off, you know, light years away, you see nebulae and stars that you've never seen before, and you can see Saturn's rings and all of its beauty way, way, way off in the distance, but because of the lack of atmosphere, it is just one of the most beautiful sights that you have ever seen in your life. As you're gazing upon this and you cross that threshold and it becomes ever so dark, you lost track of all the Clefairy. They all seem to be missing. And your partner Clefairy that's been by your side is poking at your leg and moving in a specific direction so that you're able to keep up. Do you follow this Clefairy?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. You see, as you are fully out of the light side of the moon at this point, the Clefairy bounds into a crater, never to be seen again. It just disappears into blackness. What do you do?
I jump in, baby.
Okay. For the second time in one day, Elodie jumping into areas unknown just for the heck of it. Elodie leaps into the crater and she begins to fall and fall and fall and fall for seeming what may be minutes. A very long time of descent at a super slow, gradual pace like a feather. Eventually, she is bombarded with just gentle lights, gentle pink lights that surround her from every area as these glowing orbs on either side of this like relatively person-sized hole that seems to have been dug into the center of this crater begins to illuminate. And eventually she finds herself at the threshold of what seems to be like a dwelling or a house. There is, in fact, a door that has a handle, and you can see that there are lights of various colors going on inside, and your partner Clefairy is standing by the door and is beckoning you. You can see them clearly now with all the lights. What do you do?
I will open the door.
Okay. You walk forward to where the partner Clefairy was waiting for you and enter this threshold. What you see is a strange sight indeed. You appear to have entered this inside of a crater dwelling of a variety of Pokemon. You see, first and foremost, a large, round, pink Pokemon that greatly resembles Clefairy. You can deduce that this is a Clefable. However, it seems to have a different quality about it. It seems to be decorated in a variety of space rocks that gives it somewhat of like a regal, elegant look, as if it's some form of nobility or something. You see many Clefairy in here. It seems that all the ones from the outside have gathered to this point. You see, additionally, a Pokemon that reminds you of Delaney's Gothitelle, but smaller. It looks a little out of place, but not uncomfortable. It seems to be existing just fine in this space. You see a group of Pokemon that seem familiar to you from Meteor Falls. There is a meteorite Pokemon, Minior, that is floating around. It does not have its rocky shell on, and it's got a pink, like, smiley face, a little gem Pokemon as it soars around. Last but not least, sitting on what appears to be, like, a couch made out of rock, there is a small white Pokemon that looks like almost as if it's wearing a yellow hat, couldn't be more than a foot tall, and has strange green pieces of paper affixed to its body, and it looks like it's sleeping. However, it has a strange eye in the center of its chest that is wide open. The Clefable looks over at you and gives you a big friendly wave. What do you do and what do you think?
Oh my gosh, this is crazy.
It's almost like a little party. All these little guys are just kind of hanging around and having a good time.
I'm not going back. I'm just going to stay here. No, I will wave back at the Clefable.
Very good. Roll a charisma.
Okay. Natural 20.
Yeah. This Clefable thinks you're all right. It gestures at you to, like, it puts hands on, like, its short little stubby hands on either side of its face, and it, like, makes them mime something, like, hard and forceful, and then lifts up. It's asking you to do something.
You know, stranger things have happened. I will tentatively take off my helmet.
Okay. You do so tentatively, and what you realize as you take off your helmet, your blood does not boil. And you don't suffer any ill consequences. And in fact, you are able to breathe perfectly fine in this room. There is a strange property underway here. As you take off the helmet, you can also see things more clearly. You see that on one wall, there is like a shimmering surface, almost a glassy sea-like property to it that has like dancing lights and figures and just very vague, like amorphous shapes dancing around and illuminating around. And a variety of Clefairy are just watching it like it's television or something. And they're eating little snacks. There's like little pebbles in their tiny little hands and they're shoving them into their mouths. You also see that in front of this big Clefable, there is a table made out of moon rock that there are a variety of cups on that have a liquid in them, and the Clefairy seem to be drinking from them. And there's also a strange series of patterns on the table, and there are also cube-shaped rocks with indentations on them, and they are being thrown around like they are playing a game.
Yo, gambling Clefairy! Let's go!
Clefable is delighted that you took off your helmet, and it makes eye contact, and it looks just like it's very happy to see you, as if you're like longtime friends or something. It is very pleased with you, and it gestures over to the table where it is sat with two Clefairy and a Gotharita, and it asks you to take a seat on a rock.
I will do that.
Okay. You do exactly that. Clefable also produces, seemingly out of nothing, it lays its hand on a table and then poof, there's a little coaster and there's a little teacup and there's a swirling purple liquid inside that looks like a galaxy and it ushers to you as if it wants you to drink it. Do you do so?
Yeah, that looks delicious. I'll have a sip.
Okay. You have a sip of the strange Clefable tea and it's pretty delicious, pretty refreshing. It has a warm quality to it, not like scalding hot tea, but it's like warmer than, you know, the surface of the moon for sure. And it is slightly herbal, but also very sweet. And it's a little thick as well. It's like leaning into like a yogurt smoothie viscosity, but with a different flavor and a different feel to it. It makes you feel pretty good. You like how it tastes.
Yummy.
The Clefable, additionally, trying to be a good guest, shoves a couple of six-sided rocks, cube rocks with various indentations on them. With a quick observation, you can see that each face of the rock has a different number of scratches, of tallies in it. It seems that it wants you to participate in a game. Do you do so?
Absolutely.
Okay. After you collect these two rocks, the Clefable will gesture to two different symbols that are on the table. I'm going to send them to you, but I'm also going to describe them for the podcast, but I will just do this first because it's hard to do both at once. There are two symbols like at the center of the table and they are side by side. They are both vaguely star shaped. One of them very distinctly looks to be a star with 7 points if you were to count them. And then the other one vaguely looking like a clock, also spiky and star shaped, has 12 points. Clefable looks at your eyes as if to ask, do you understand?
I think so. I have to roll either a 7 or a 12.
Okay. Do you like say this to the Clefable?
Yeah, I'll clarify with the Clefable.
Okay. As you speak, you realize that not only are you in a room that has oxygen that you can breathe, but also that you are actually able to speak and that there is a medium for which sound can travel. All these Pokemon in here are like really quiet, you've noticed, but as Clefable nods, there's a ruffling of kind of its fairy feathers, the fur on its body that you can pretty distinctly hear. And you also hear the sounds of these dice rocks being rolled on this table. They bounce really significantly, like far and long, and they don't roll as much as they would on Earth. But it seems that Gotharita, two Clefairies, and Clefable are all taking their shots at rolling some dice. Why don't you do the same?
Okay, cool. So I roll two D6s. Right? Or is it
everyone else seems to be rolling two six-sided rocks.
Okay. I shall roll.
Okay.
It's so funny because I was just watching Exandria Unlimited Kaimal where they were playing this game.
Oh yeah.
In that campaign. So I'm like, I know the rules. Okay. I rolled a total of six.
Okay. Everyone else reveals their roles. You notice at this point that these two Clefairy are playing together. They're each rolling one rock, and then Gotharita is rolling two with their mind, and Clefable is rolling two, seemingly also with their mind, but they do gestate to roll, like they wave their hand in front of them, and then the rocks clatter. The Clefable rolls a 5 and a 4. The Clefairy pair rolls a 3 and a 1, and the Gotharita rolls a 3 and a 2. They all look a little disappointed, and they all begin to roll again. Do you do so as well?
Yep. My two dice. That was a 2.
Okay. You got 2 ones.
Yes, I got 2 ones.
Snake eyes.
Snake eyes.
So The Clefable gets a 5 and a 1. The Clefairy pair gets a 6 and a 6. And the Gothrita gets a 3 and a 5. They all kind of smile and smirk at each other. And they all, like, the suspense is rising, right? Like, they want someone to get something here. They all begin to roll again. Do you roll again as well?
Yes.
Okay. As you do so, you notice that the sleepy Pokemon sitting on the couch made out of space rock lets out a little snore. And it turns around a little bit. Seems like it's in a very deep sleep. But again, there's an eye in its chest that seems to be wide open. What are your results this time?
3 and a 1.
Okay. Clefable has a 1 and a 2. The Clefairy pair has a 6 and a 3. And Gotharita has a 4 and a 1. No progress being made. They are very excited for something to happen. As the suspense is building, the little orbs, the pink orbs that are surrounding like the corners and the walls and the ceilings of this crater room, all begin to illuminate a little bit, and it seems that they are matching this Clefable's excitement and suspense about the game. Everyone picks up their dice to roll again. Do you do so as well?
Yes.
Okay.
We're gonna get it. That is a 6 and a 6.
Oh, very good. That is a 12. Clefable rolls a 4 and a 5. The Clefairy pair rolls a 6 and a 3, and Gotharita rolls a 3 and a 1. They all, the Clefairy pair and Gotharita seem disappointed. One of the Clefairies in the pair like sheds a tear. Gotharita just looks a little like sassy, like I could have won perhaps if I did better. And Clefable is overjoyed. Again, all of the lights in this room just like pulse a brilliant pink glow. And like Clefable begins to let out a laugh. It is almost scarily human sounding, but it's definitely not human. It's definitely a monster, but there's a sense of like intelligence and understanding to this. The Clefable applauds and then gathers up the dice and serves you some more tea. It looks at you in the face, making direct eye contact. This big, like, ominous, if it weren't so friendly, Clefable is looking you like right in the eyes as if to ask you something.
Okay. Can I divine what it is asking?
Sure. Roll an insight.
12?
12. It's asking about you. You don't know what specifically, but it wants to know something about Elodie.
Okay. I will say, hi, I'm Elodie.
Very good. Clefable will nod and then let out a bow, and it will make a chirpy, chimey kind of sound that sounds like bells ringing in the distance, but it comes out of its mouth. And then it, you know, sits back down and it puts its hands on its legs, its very short, stubby legs, as if expectantly, and looks at you again.
I will say, I'm looking for my Alcremie cabbage.
Clefable looks surprised and also vaguely excited. Clefable will stand up and then lift one of its feet off the ground, and it begins to very elegantly hover over to the wall where the dancing lights are on display at this like lunar television. It will touch it. It will touch the screen and swivel some things around. And like you can see that this whole wall of craterous rock is like almost as if they're scrolling horizontally on TikTok or something. But the videos are all just like abstract lights. Like you can't interpret it at all. Clefable is scrolling through it and then stops and points and then wiggles a finger. As it wiggles a finger, a hidden door that is behind the couch where the mysterious star-shaped Pokemon is sleeping opens up. And you can hear the sound of what sounds to be like a lunar rave happening. There's a steady beat that sounds almost like an EDM beat, but there's percussion that is clearly being made by rocks, and there's jingles and like bass tones that are coming out of what you could presume to be fairy Pokemon. And there's also a flashing lights show happening. Clefable points in there and suggests that that is where you might find what you're looking for. Do you enter?
Yes.
Okay.
I will join the rave.
Cool. You do so. You enter the other side of the room, and the Clefable gives you a wave and then kind of quickly closes the door in like a hurry. Can you roll an insight on why the door might be hurriedly closed? I want an 11 or higher.
Oh, yippee. 19.
Okay. You intuit that Clefable wants this door closed because it is right next to the couch where the sleepy Pokemon is, and they don't want to wake up the sleepy Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. He's sleepy.
You enter this chamber, and there's like a little stage area. There's an elevated platform of, again, all craters rock, but the floor in this room is entirely multicolored squares, and they all illuminate in different colors in rapid succession along with the beat of the music. It's very hard to explain. It's like a whimsical lunar house music almost. There are Clefairies that are just like throwing rocks, sometimes with their arms, sometimes with their minds, against different shapes in the wall that make different rhythmic sounds, and they are doing so consistently as if they are musicians. Additionally, you see just in the corner a smiling but scared looking Cabbage, who is glowing incredibly and is providing a majority of the light show in this room. She is glowing pink and blue in rhythm to the music. It doesn't seem that she has noticed you yet.
I am going to run over to her and give her a hug.
Okay, you do so. The moment that you start moving, Cabbage recognizes you and lets out a joyful little squeal and jumps into your arms, and you embrace as you are once again reunited. If you didn't, you probably kept your sheet for her. But
yeah.
Roll a investigation.
You got it. That's a 24.
Very good. While holding Cabbage and looking at her and just like, you know, observing her from what you are not normally familiar with, she's experiencing some sort of like overload of energy. It's not hurting her, but she is particularly just much different than before. She's channeling some sort of greater force that she's never experienced before.
She's like, the energy is different, but physically, like, she doesn't look different.
She does not look any different at all. She is glowing incredibly, and again, she has somewhat of a bubble of milk around her. As you embrace her, it, like, sticks, like, it parts way for your arms to hold Cabbage, but the bubble remains.
Interesting. Can I, So the energy is the same from when she was in the pyramid thing.
Seemingly so. It is missing like the electrical beams that were suspending her, but more or less it is the same, if not stronger. She is glowing even brighter. Or perhaps it is just that you are in a dim little rave room compared to the bright lunar surface.
Right. I will be very, very joyful to return to being with Cabbage. Mm-hmm. But I will... We'll dance around a little bit. We'll enjoy this moment just for a second.
Okay, sure.
The Clefairies in the moon rave.
Yeah. Give me a performance with advantage.
Okay.
Awesome.
Oh, dice down.
That will be, 29.
That is super good, super incredible. You join the dance party. You're grooving and schmoovin', and Clefairies are making music by throwing rocks at the wall. It is truly incredible the sounds that they can make. There are only three Clefairy who are quote-unquote musicians, and all the other Pokemon in here are dancing. Additionally, there are some new floating Pokemon that are familiar, but you haven't seen on the moon yet. There's a pair of Lunatone that you recognize not only from Meteor Falls, but also from Tate and Liza's gym. They're just kind of cruising around, and they're dipping and bobbing a little bit, but it's hard for them to dance because they don't have limbs. Your dancing is very impressive, and everyone is a big fan. All the Clefairies and Lunatone in here are very, very impressed. The music stops for a moment, and the Clefable enters just kind of phasing into the wall from the elevated place where the quote-unquote stage is. It stops the music, and it addresses all of the inhabitants in the room with a series of chirps and bell-like sounds that you cannot interpret. Alcremie looks at you for guidance as all of the Clefairy in the room get very excited and start jumping up and down and look at you. Do you say or do anything?
Oh, gosh. This is a lot of pressure. Am I able to tell at all, like, what they're trying to expect of me?
Yeah, you can roll an insight.
Okay. We'll try, just to see. 14?
14. You can't get the specifics of it, but they are very happy and very excited, and it has something to do with you.
Okay.
Clefable gestures to like almost an altar-like elevation that is at the stage, and then looks at you and Cabbage, and then gestures you to do something about it.
I will take Cabbage and go up there.
Okay. You stand up on the stage, and the room full of Clefairy look at you expectantly. The floor, all the squares on the floor that illuminate in different colors, are no longer doing so. The room is just a steady, dim pink, with a couple of those glowing pink orbs in each corner of the room, providing some ambient light. There is a hushed silence as all of the Clefairy and Lunatone and Clefable in the room look at you expectantly.
I will say, thank you for returning me to my wonderful partner, Cabbage.
Roll a charisma.
Okay. Speech. Just straight charisma?
Yeah.
Okay, 8.
There's like kind of a gentle, quiet cheer. A couple of the Clefairy are like, wee! And, you know, there's some hushed applause like a golf clap. There is a Clefairy that bounds up near you that you recognize. It is the Clefairy that led you on this adventure in the first place. It's been by your side since you've been at the moon. Yeah, it's your guy, Clefairy. He kind of taps on the top of the table that you are standing in front of and looks at you expectantly.
The table?
Yes. So you're like at an altar. Sorry if I didn't describe that well.
No, it's okay.
So basically there's a dance floor and then there's a slight elevation that would be quote unquote a stage where all the musician Clefairies are. And then there's like an elevation that is roughly 3 feet high and like 2 feet long that is just waiting for something to be placed atop of it, basically.
I will place Cabbage atop of it.
Okay. Have Cabbage roll a performance, please.
Okay. She's good at that. What is her? Oh, nice. She's amazing. 22.
22. Incredible. You place her on top of it, and you are a little surprised, a little taken aback, as when her body touches the platform, she begins to change rapidly. All of her cream just rapidly expands and hardens, and she becomes like she stays herself, but all of the area around her and the bottom of her feet just disappear as they are completely engulfed in cake and cream. She becomes excessively creamy, excessively cakey, and also excessively cabbage. You can roll an arcana on this.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I have any arcana. No, I do not. That's a 7.
Aren't entirely sure what's going on, but you understand that all the fairy Pokemon are very excited about it, so you don't question it too much. As the cake falls and forms around her, all the glowing power that's been surrounding her this whole time that you've been on the moon kind of manifests and forms itself into like a horizontal table that she stands in front of, with two little columns on either side that erupt into like a candle with a sparkling light on it, casting dazzling gleam all throughout the room. And it starts producing music and sounds and smells, and you swear tastes in your mouth that just fills this entire cavity as it lights up super brightly. And all the fairies in here start like screaming with joy, and the music gets incredibly loud. And Cabbage assumes a new form that you have never seen before. I have just sent it to you.
Yes! Let's go. Oh my gosh, she's beautiful.
So Cabbage is more or less conducting a rave at this moment.
This is awesome. Oh, I almost forgot. I will take Mr. Salt out of my suit so that he can enjoy the party as well.
Oh, perfect. Yes. He is delighted to be a part of this also. Please have Cabbage roll a performance check with advantage.
Oh boy, that's awesome. Oh, let's go, natural 20.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love it when the narrative does that. Yeah, this like the whole chamber, this whole inter-crater area that you are in begins to rumble and vibrate almost as if there's like a really intense earthquake, but it's bounding in rhythm to the music. And everyone is like floating up and down in the moon's gravity and dancing and schmoving and enjoying the sights and sounds and smells that Cabbage is somehow able to create. Cabbage looks at you like with confusion, but also with confidence as somehow Cabbage is the catalyst to this performance. Is there anything that you would like to do that isn't just partying?
So like the little table that was there became that table that's like part of her now?
It's hard to tell because it's all cake.
Cabbage, it's all caked up.
Cabbage has expanded into just like a blob of cake where her familiar torso and head are present and they are expanded upon. They're familiar. Her pink and blue colors have become exaggerated and the curly, like creamy bits atop her head have become also more exaggerated. And there's just this incredible energy that is pulsing from her body. So she's more or less Cabbage, but she's just assumed a different form.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I was going to see if I could try and investigate that table to see if this is somehow like the fairy plate or something, and this is her alpha form.
Sure. Go ahead and roll investigation.
Okay. Oh my god! I'm crazy! That was another natural 20!
That's crazy how that works, how that happens.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the feeling that maybe not the whole altar slash platform was essentially the pixie plate, but upon like getting close and like looking at Cabin and see what's going on, you know without a shadow of a doubt that this is in fact the location of the pixie plate and that Cabbage is being influenced by its powers at the moment.
Gotcha. So maybe not all of the pixie plate, but like she is being influenced by it in some way.
Yes, absolutely. Based on with your 20, on your investigation, I have no problem telling you that the moon as a whole has some sort of powerful influence over fairy types, disproportionately affecting Cabot, sure, but as she has come into contact with this, after, you know, seeing Bud and seeing Soldi, you're pretty confident that this is alpha transformation and aspect transformation.
Interesting. Okay. Gotcha.
You're happy to make as many rolls as you'd like in the situation. When you are finished, I will proceed. But for now, you are partying. And so I want you to be able to enjoy that party for as long as you like.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? I'll take out everybody that I've got with me.
Oh.
And we'll all party together.
Okay. Well, you list them all. Bit. There's Cabbage and Mr. Yes. Salt and who else?
Yes. We will have Bubblegum the Primarina join us, as well as Grape Juice the Swampert and Blueberry the Altaria will see the light of day.
That's awesome. Yeah, they all like are initially confused for like half a second. They don't know where they are and what's going on. And then all of a sudden they are just feeling the vibe. Even Blueberry, who is not necessarily lunar, not even strictly a fairy type at all, but is certainly getting down with the vibes. You are welcome to fully restore everyone's HP and PP. And additionally, every one of your Pokemon, except for Cabbage, gets 2 points of inspiration that they can use whenever they want.
So you said everybody except for Cabbage?
Yes, except for Cabbage, because Cabbage is giving this inspiration.
Oh, yippee! And I can heal too?
Yes, everyone and everything in this room is going to return to full capacities and more.
Amazing.
Are there any other checks you want to make?
No, I think we're just partying.
Okay. You do so for a pretty long time, and you lose track of time, honestly, as far as how much time has passed. after some time, of which you do not know, the Clefable, in a lapse in the music that is being generated, this big, mighty Clefable goes forward and gives a bow to Cabbage, who is in this strange form, and then gives a look to you, and then gestures you placing your hands on something and picking it up. What do you do?
What does she want me to place my hands on Cabbage?
You can roll insight on the specifics of that gesture, but
yeah.
Clefable took both of their hands and then like placed them around an invisible object and then lifted.
Okay.
If you want insight, you can get more specifics.
Okay, I rolled a 4 on the insight, so okay. I don't think
I figured it out. You may have to take a guess or do nothing.
Well, the only thing on stage is Cabbage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll try to lift Cabbage up, I guess.
Okay, you lift Cabbage up. The moment that you pull like a little more than 6 inches, all of the cake that is produced by this form just kind of poofs in glitter and stardust. And then you're holding normal, ordinary Cabbage, who seems to be having a good time, gives you a smile. Clefable bounces forward and then karate chops this altar that you had placed Cabbage onto, and it shatters into a bunch of different pieces. Clefable moves some debris aside and then picks up one really nice, perfectly rectangular shard and hands it towards you. Do you receive it?
Yes, I will receive it.
Okay. Elodie, you can add the pixie plate to your inventory.
Yippee!
Clefable will open the door, looking kind of tired, looking kind of sweaty, and is going to prepare itself another cup of that galaxy tea. As it flicks its fingers towards that table where you were originally playing that game, it produces another one for you. Do you take a drink from it?
Yes, I'll have a sip.
Okay. Very good. It's refreshing. It's restorative. It feels good. You can't help but feel like perhaps while you're having a great time, there's maybe a greater need to be addressed. And Clefable gives you a look of recognition, like it knows what you're saying, and then holds up a finger as if, oh, one more thing. I have a thought, as if to say that. It goes over to the sleepy friend on the couch, and it points at it, and then it points at you, and then it points directly at the topmost little green piece of paper on its head, and it looks at you expectantly. You can roll insight, or you can just go vibes.
I'm thinking it wants me to take that piece of paper.
You can go for it if that's what you believe.
I will do it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go for it.
Okay, roll a dexterity, please. Sleight of hand, but you don't have it.
That was a natural 1.
Very good. You
win some, we lose some.
Yeah, it's fine. You just had like 2 or 3 nat 20s, so it's fine.
Yeah.
You go to reach for it, and then it like there's an invisible gust or like a lift, and it like floats like upwards for a little bit. And Clefable shakes its head and it balls its tiny fingers somehow into what looks like a fist in one hand, and it puts it in the open palm of its other hand, and then it points at you as if it wants you to try one more time.
Yeah, I'll try again.
Okay.
I have to roll again?
Yes, go for it.
Yeah. Oh my god. It's a two on the die for five.
Five? Okay. Five is like somewhat better. You go to take a rip of it, and as you pull on it, it tears in half, but you do have a piece of this piece of paper that was residing on this Pokemon's head. It begins to regenerate a little bit, and then Clefable looks at you and kind of shrugs and looks at you as if asking, as if a host asking if they can do anything else for you.
I'll just be like, sorry about that. And then I will say, is there anything I can do for you all? That seems like those guys up top are going to be here for a while.
Yeah. The Clefable will think and then look around to all of its friends, including the sleepy white and yellow star Pokemon who you just tore a piece of paper from, the Clefairy, the Gotharita, the Minior. They'll all kind of like look at Clefable, and then they will, Clefable will shake its head, close its eyes. It will look at you, and it will point at you, and it'll point at Cabbage, and it'll let out a cheerful chirp, and then it will nod. You can roll insight if you want.
Yeah, I'm okay. Gonna roll insight for that. Let's find out. I can't read this freaking die. 13?
13 is good enough. You can tell based off of Clefable's gestures, which is mostly how it has been speaking to you, that it believes that you and Cabbage and the specific gift that it gave you, not the one from Jirachi, but the one from the Rave Room, will get you out of this predicament. It is confident in that.
Okay. Interesting. The predicament of like being here or like the guys on the surface?
Oh, maybe I misunderstood your question. Clefable is speaking to the guys on the surface, but you're saying like getting out of this chamber?
Oh, yeah. I mean, more so that, I mean, I was just trying to interpret what it was saying.
Ah.
So that clarifies it. If it meant more the just the guys on the surface, that makes more sense.
Yes, it means the problem. It doesn't, specifically.
Right. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So it's saying, like, we can get rid of them, or...
Sure, you can ask. You can verbally ask out loud what it means.
Yeah, I'll say that. Do you want us to get rid of them?
Clefable will look around and gesture like at its constituents, being all the fairies and the other non-fairies that happen to live here, and it will look at you and give you a shrug, and you're welcome to roll insight.
These guys do a lot of gesturing up here.
Yeah, they sure do. They're not psychic types, but one of them is.
Well, yeah. 14.
14 is pretty good. The vibe that you're picking up from here is that the Clefable and all of its friends, they like to be here and they like to stick around. But there is some sort of like magical fae property to this Clefable that exceeds normal Pokemon. And it fully believes in you. But if you would like some additional assistance, it is willing to arrange that for you. If that's specific enough for that 14 insight.
Got you. Okay. So, okay. So it seems like, yeah, they want us to get rid of the bomb.
It seems like, based on your 14 insight, that they're not even really concerned about it. That they feel like that you and Cabbage are going to take care of it.
Right. Take care of the bomb.
Yes. That is the impression. But then Clefable also followed up with the gestures that if you feel like you need help, Clefable will help.
Okay. I will look around for my buddy Clefairy.
Okay. You don't need to roll. Buddy Clefairy is like right behind you, right at your ankle.
I will crouch down and I will take out an Ultra Ball and I will ask if they want to come with me.
Oh, wow. Roll either persuasion or definitely persuasion for Elodie. roll persuasion.
Yeah. Okay.
With advantage.
Oh, nice. Oh, with advantage. Even better, possibly. It was the same roll twice. Persuasion, that'll bring me to 27.
Okay. Yeah, this little guy would be thrilled to come with you, as it seems to have already formed a bond with you, if you wish to capture this Clefairy.
Yes, I will do that.
Okay. I guess I should describe that. You hold the Ultra Ball to the Clefairy, and it gives it a little tap on the button, and it gets absorbed, and there isn't even hardly a wiggle. There's just a satisfied clink as the Ultra Ball clinks shut, and you've caught yourself a Clefairy. Congratulations.
Amazing. Okay.
Additionally, I'm going to send you a description for an item that you've received. It is called...
Perfect.
It is called the Ripped Jirachi's Wish Tag. And there's some information on it. Without going too deep or complex for the listeners, it is basically the 5e spell of Wish, but with some limitations. So you don't have to read it all right now if you don't want to.
Oh, wow. Oh, my.
I guess you're reading it right now. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm skimming it. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, perfect. I will say... thank you so much to the Clefable and to everybody here. I want to be like, I hope we meet again, but like that would be very strange circumstances. But I will definitely thank them for their hospitality, and then I'll take the Clefairy out of its Pokeball,
okay,
so that it can come with outside, and then we'll make our way outside back to the surface.
Okay, just to confirm, do you restore your astronaut helmet before you do so?
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. I don't want to die.
Yeah, a little important. Okay, very good. Yeah, you do so. All of the Pokemon in here give you a wave. Even the Lunatones that are in the rave room kind of peek their heads out and they nod at you. They were all pleased to have you as a guest. And they begin to return to their seats. And Clefable, the pair of Clefairy, and Gotharita continue playing their silly game. You will open the door to go back outside. There's definitely, like, immediately once you close the door, you just feel like, oh, this is back on, like, the desolate lunar surface. This feels very different. And from the very, very deep hole that you jump down, you see, like, a sparkling dust that is flitting upwards. Clefairy is beckoning you to go walk over there. Do you do so?
Yes, I will do that.
Okay.
I will...
go on.
For the time being, I will also keep Cabbage inside my suit.
Okay. Oh, that's very fun. So Cabbage and Mr. Salt are in there?
If they can both fit, yeah.
They can both fit. Mr. Salt might have to occupy the entire area that's, like, above your head, because that's just the easiest place for him to fit, with Cabbage being in there as well. So, like, you can still see a little bit out of the visor, but if anyone, like, if the shade is up, people would see Mr. Salt's face, not yours, just so you know. Maybe that's good. Maybe that's intentional.
That's funny, yeah. Okay. No, that's funny.
Okay. Yeah, they can both comfortably fit in there pretty well. Cabbage, once you step outside, you notice it is very clear that she's still, like, pulsing and glowing with a pink and blue energy that you've only seen on the moon. And additionally, her little bubble of milk that surrounds her body is also beginning to encompass you and Mr. Salt. It's got kind of like a warming sensation to it that's very calming and relaxing. You are moving over to where the Clefairy is indicated?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, you step into this, like, deep, like, pillar-like tunnel that you descended, and you immediately begin to levitate. This swirling, flittering, like, glowing powder that sits at the bottom here is beginning to raise you up, and you ascend much faster than you descended out of this port. You find yourself back on that threshold of where the lunar day meets the lunar night, and you can see way off in the distance, no particular details, but you do see the three Pokemon and the two astronauts still working on the project with the shuttle nearby. What do you do?
I will cautiously approach, I suppose.
Okay, you come back to the project. You can see that Cobalt has been kind of, like, dismissed over, like, far past where the project is, and he's, like, searching around. He's doing something. He's looking around for you. The whole group split up, really. Behem and Magneton and Kling Klang are all scattered, and Colress is still at the project, still looking, but also still, like, messing with buttons and touching the panel on his wrist. And he does notice you approach. He says, Yuri, I'm glad you're okay. Did you find the Alcremie?
Man, those Clefairy are crazy. I don't know what happened to her.
Roll a deception, please.
Okay. Not my best, but a 13?
Okay, good enough still. Colress says, damn, I was hoping it wasn't going to come to this. Yuri, I'm going to need you to go scour the surface of the moon and find the most powerful fairy type that you can find. We need to continue this mission. Cobalt, get back here. And Cobalt says, on my way. And you see off of the distance someone bounding over. Colrus says, this mission can't continue if we don't have a proper catalyst for the infinity energy. And without that powerful Alcremie, I don't know if any of these Clefairy are going to cut it, but we have no other choice but to try.
Right. I'll go look over there. Maybe it's hiding behind the spaceship, and I will point towards the spaceship.
Okay. Please roll a stealth. I know it sounds funny, but roll a stealth.
Okay. Ooh, 5.
Okay. As you turn the corner and give this command that Clefairy agrees with, that you might as well look over there, Clefairy says, hey, you got that Clefairy following you. Perhaps that's the proper one to try this on. And he begins to move towards this Clefairy. Do you do anything?
I don't know. That thing seems pretty weak. I was able to defeat it. I mean, it's pretty, you know, subservient to me now.
That roll a deception. This one's going to be hard. It's an 18.
Okay. All right. Okay. Oh, okay. Okay. 22.
Colra says, wow, yes, Yuri, I miscalculated your abilities as a diplomat. This is quite impressive that you've already managed to conquer one of the natives of this world. Very well. Continue on your search. And he dismisses you and the Clefairy.
Okay. I think I'm going to try and get back on the ship.
Okay. You can do so. You are looking around, checking stuff out. What do you do in particular? Oh, sorry. Just to clarify, you are intending to enter the first door, close that door, let it pressurize.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We don't have to go through the whole rigmarole this time, but yeah. You will do that. Okay. Yeah, you find yourself back in the shuttle, and you have already taken a peek at the control panel. What are your thoughts? What are you trying to do?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how they meant me to figure the situation out. Maybe
sure.
I should have spent longer with them trying to figure it out.
You can roll for Cabbage.
Yeah, maybe Cabbage knows.
Yeah, just roll a thing for Cabbage. I don't know. Something for Cabbage.
Just straight d20 or something.
Yeah.
16 on the die.
That's what you got? That's pretty freaking good. I didn't expect that. Cabbage kind of like hops on the control panel and like looks at stuff, and he's evaluating it the same way that you did, and somehow can identify something that seems pretty important to Cabbage. It looks at a little gauge, and it looks at you like questioningly, and you can tell that this is like a fuel gauge. The reading of it is like at the bottom. It seems like it is almost fully empty, and Cabbage looks at you with concern and then looks back at the planet off in the distance through the window.
Right. Is she looking towards the pyramid thing?
No. She's looking passages directly back at Earth.
Okay.
Have Elodie roll an insight.
Natural 20.
Oh, God.
Finally on the insight.
Okay. Cabbage wants to try, in the combination of just her natural lunar synergy that is making her go crazy and light up and stuff, in combination with the pixie plate, she feels like she can figure something out.
Okay, I trust her.
Okay. You wouldn't have gotten something so succinct without a 20 there, so that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. And so you have your little, do you have a name for Clefairy yet, or are you still rocking with Clefairy?
No, I haven't come up with one yet.
Okay, take your time. Thinking. There's no rush.
Okay.
So Cabbage, Mr. Salt, and Clefairy all kind of like look at you expectantly and also look a little like eager to not be on the shuttle.
Okay, so they all don't want to be on the shuttle, but Cabbage has an idea?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then I will ask Cabbage where she wants to go.
Oh, okay. Have Cabbage roll a d20.
That was a 19 on the die.
You're rolling so good. This is crazy.
I know, right? Today's crazy.
I guess except for the wish tag, but that's fine.
it's fine.
Cabbage kind of is, what does she do? She like holds onto your hand and like is guiding you like a toddler back outside of the ship.
Okay. Yeah, then we'll just go outside.
Okay. You put on your helmet, you go through the song and dance of get the depressurization and stuff, et cetera, et cetera. As you step outside, you hear a comm from Cobalt asking, Yuri, did you figure it out? Did you find something? A good replacement catalyst?
I'm still looking. Just give me a little bit.
Cobalt will buy it, and Chloris will say, well, come on, we have to induce the coma soon. We're going to run out of oxygen, so we got to hurry up.
Oh, okay.
So Cabbage is going to take you over to somewhere. I'm going to need stealth from Elodie.
Not renowned for my stealth, but that'll be a 15.
15 is good enough. Cabbage finds like a relatively deep crater pretty close by. It is closer in the direction of the contraption than it is in the shuttle. And Cabbage kind of plops down in the middle of it. And again, like more so in the center of this crater that is illuminated. It's on the light side of the moon. Her like glowing energy shield that is around her is really intense. And also her milk bubble is like really, really significant. She also seems to be having no issue surviving on the lunar surface without air, which is curious.
Interesting, interesting.
Also, neither is Clefairy or Carbink. So it's, there's like no issue for them at all.
Yeah, they're fairy types. They're fine. Mm-hmm. I will start to hand her the pixie plate.
Okay, you do that. She absorbs it into her carapace and once again begins to transform into the aspect of play. She begins to just create incredible amounts of cake from her body to the point where it is less becoming similar to like a DJ at a table and more similar to, if anyone is familiar, the Gigantamax form of Alcremie, where she just becomes a towering, massive cake. And it seems clear that there's like an area where you could reside or hold on to as she becomes 10, 20, 30, 40, now upwards of 60 feet tall. It's just a mountain of cake erupts. There is screaming and confusion coming from Colress and Cobalt. They're saying, what's going on? Is that the Alcremie? And they are startled and shocked. Do you say anything to them?
Oh, gosh. Oh. They'll be fine. Colress is smart. If they're stuck here for a year, they'll be fine. They'll figure it out. I will just yell back, I don't know, something's happening.
Very good. The monstrosity of Cabbage is still forming and expanding on the moon as incredible amounts of cake are being dispersed across the surface. You can see as the shuttle gets like gently lifted and carried back towards the dark side almost. And also the contraption that is the ziggurat of infinity energy is becoming slightly displaced. Additionally, if you turn and see, please roll an investigation, please.
Yes, I do like doing those. 25.
25 is great. You can see that along with the cake, all of the Clefairy have returned. There's a horde of now more of them, probably 40 or 50 of them. And they are all beginning to circle around this giant cake tower that is forming on the moon. And they're all rushing towards the ziggurat. And you can see a handful of them beginning to unscrew the infinity energy capsules and dart off with them at incredible speeds, faster than any of the people or Pokemon can otherwise do.
Yeah.
Cabbage still has her little cabbagey face up at the top of this tower, and you're holding on probably about 10 feet away. Mr. Salt has dug his rocky body into the cake so he will not slip, and your partner Clefairy is holding on right behind you.
Okay.
Cabbage turns around with like sparkling blue and pink eyes and then gives you a look as if asking for permission for something.
I will say, let it rip, Cabbage.
Very good. Cabbage gives you a nod, and then in a moment, like, all of this cake that's been generated just, like, sucks up into the area where Cabbage's torso resides, and just completely, flies in there, and she becomes very engorged, very enlarged. Then there's, like, a moment of, well, it's already silent because it's the moon, but there's just, like, no activity, nothing stirs, and then all of a sudden it begins blasting cake out of the back like a rocket, and you find yourself escaping the moon's gravity in quick speed and hurtling back towards the planet. You see the trail of stars and cake and glitter and just sparkly dust behind you as Cabbage has transformed into some sort of fairy comet and is hurtling back towards Earth. I will need you to roll first an investigation, and then after some consideration, I'll have you make another roll.
Okay. Investigation. 15. Or sorry, no, 13.
13. 13 is still pretty good. You are moving at incredible speeds, and you can feel some G-force, but there's a bubble of milk around you, and around Mr. Salt, and around Clefairy, and it seems like somehow you are made immune to some of the forces of just hurtling through space. The planet is still quite far away, but with your investigation, and based on the time of day that it happens to be on the planet, you can see a few things. The first thing that catches your eye is your home country of Kalos. You recognize the shape because you studied it in school. Additionally, you see the shapes of Sinnoh, Kanto, and Hoenn. It is going to be up to you to guide Cabbage correctly to where you want to go. So my first question is, to Elodie, with all of these countries in your vision and you still being many, many, many miles away, how will you aim Cabbage to return to the planet?
Man, we're just going home. I don't screw these guys. Like, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah, we'll shoot for Hoenn.
Okay.
I don't think there's anywhere else that I would want to. Is there anything that we needed to do anywhere else? I don't think so. I think we're just going to try and go back to Moss Deep.
Okay. With
help
you,
our friends.
Very good. With you locking in Hoenn and like giving this instruction either empathically or somehow so Cabbage understands that that is your target, is that spot on the globe, I will need you to roll a d20 for accuracy. You will not flub any more than Hoenn, but you may end up not going to Moss Deep.
Understandable. Let's find out where we're going, baby. That's 7 on the dice.
Okay. Where Elodie is exactly going to land, we will have to wait for the Quacko Paco to find out as a group, because as she is hurtling back towards the planet and begins to break the atmosphere after several minutes, that is where we will end the session. Hello, and thank you so very much for listening to Dunsparce and Drampop. Extra special thank you to our latest patrons, Orochi Everhart, JT Dill, Alejandro, and LavaDude331. It is thanks to the support of our patrons that this podcast is made possible, and there's never been a better time to join as a free trial patron. The link to our Patreon, to our PO Box, our Discord, our Blue Sky, and more is on linktree.ee/dunsparce, linktr.ee/dunsparce. Thank you again for all of your support, and we will see you for the next episode on March 11th.